Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
In a moment, we're going to hear highlights from Mino's exhibition game. What? No?
When you put it that way, sheesh.
Tell me I'm wrong. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That means everything. And the service department, inspections, routine, diagnostics, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber, home runs for the Phillies in a game that didn't count.
Oh, man, that ball is crushed. It's high, and it is really far. And I think if the wind was blowing out, it would have went over the tiki bar. But it's a home run for Castellanos, and the Phillies take a 2-0 lead.
And at some points, we were never sure if he's still awake or not. Schwarber sends one of the air to deep right field. Stowers going back. It's gone. It just slipped over the top fence. And Kyle Schwarber has his first spring training home run. And the Phillies lead it 3-0.
Tommy McCarthy with his usual great work, and there's nothing like clearing the tiki bar. This is a Little League game? What's going on here? The tiki bar.
Yeah, that's the place to be down in Clearwater.
I know it is. I know. You know? I'm trying to think of spring training. Which ones have I been to? I've been to the West Palm Beach ones. I've been to Orlando. I've been to, obviously, because they have Disney Wide World of Sports Complex has a minor league ballpark. And the other one is Tampa. The Yankees, your people, them.
Yeah, spring training is still on my bucket list. I would like to go experience that once and, like, go around in a bunch of different games.
I've never done it, but it's relatively inexpensive. It's warm. It's nice. You should enjoy it. You should get your chance to go down there and enjoy it. The heck? You know what? You need some fun to loosen up. You're a little tight lately.
Maybe
with
next
that,
year.
We'll bring it. Yeah. I mean, you're just a little tight. Well, no, I got to spend another year of this. All right. All right. Let's bring in the great Neil Coulong, sir. Welcome.
Stunned by the introduction.
It cut off. I heard the hiss. I wasn't sure if you were still.
No. I referred to
hear more about me and how great I am.
Yeah.
Everything that that massages my weak and fragile ego as an NFL reporter.
Yeah, I can tell with you, that's a huge problem. If you had an ego, you wouldn't be on the show. not into that. All right. Brian Flores was here. So he made the trip here. I thought that was interesting. So just his mere presence being here, what do you think he's looking at?
I think a lot of different avenues that you could go. I think it is always smart, especially if you are able, like the Steelers are, to divide your efforts divide the labor that's in front of you with people who are highly accomplished and highly experienced in that very task. This is one of the things we talked about when they announced that they hired Flores, the what they're capable of beyond just simple coaching is above and beyond what they had before. And that's no disrespect to assistant coaches as if they don't know or anything, but Flores would know firsthand exactly what a head coach would want to look for, what a general manager would want to look for, because he's been in that exact position. So you really are sending another head coach out into the scouting world. Now, as far as who their targets might be, we'll never really know that. But we do know that it's somebody of acclaim and influence. You know, they're obviously getting somebody with an eye for talent, and you can't say just because he is a defensive coach now and that's his background that's the only thing he's going to look at.
He's a former head coach, all right?
Yeah, for 3 years. Yeah. In fact, that was the last time he set foot on a college campus. He was a head coach. So he has to be open to everything that's there. I'm sure they have certain people that are looking after certain things, but they're also compiling notes that aren't just used for now. They're going to be used in August in camp cuts. They're going to be used during the season in the event of a trade. They're going to be used potentially 2-3 years down the line when these contracts either get eliminated or another trade opportunity comes up. Those notes are very, very important. I talk with people about this all the time. I think the limited perspective of your average fan isn't quite understood at the level that it needs to be, because the circles within the NFL are very, very small. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows everybody. They're all fully aware of every player who's draft eligible. They have notes on all of them. And the more information that they can get, better prepares them to make decisions later on. It's not just about this draft or about this one player. It's everything that's there. Look at it like this, too. You go to Penn State's pro day. You talk to Tom Bradley. You have a relationship with Tom Bradley. All of a sudden, he's your defensive backs coach.
Right.
That happens.
Yep.
So you get a full perspective of that, and that's why I think, anyway, just my opinion, that's why the Steelers really try to make an effort to get to the somewhat close, in a proximity sense, big schools around them, just because they're going to pump out the most talent into the NFL. Maybe not the headliners, but the most guys are going to be draft eligible there. You want to get a sense of who is currently there, and you want to be able to talk to coaches and trainers about who they have. You know, it's setting up stuff for the future. And for me, I think that using Flores in that kind of a role speaks specifically to a valued strategy for the Steelers as far as Penn State is concerned. I couldn't tell you exactly what that is, but, I think sending Matt Canada sends a message. You know, the offensive coordinator is there, but his viewpoint is kind of cut in half just based on his experience. Flores has the 360-degree approach. So I think there is something to that, whether that's now or in the future. But they're going to have detailed files on every player that's there, and that's true of every school.
All right, so now let's get to the other part. It seems the Steelers are showing up at a lot of quarterback workouts. Okay? They went down to Liberty. They saw Sam Howell down at North Carolina. Is this a group that does end runs to make people think one way, or is there potentially serious interest in what they're seeing out there?
Here's the question that I have, and it's certainly fair to bring that up. It was the feature of a column recently in one of the local newspapers as well. Is Mike Tomlin doing this to send a message deliberately? Is he trying to mess with people? Why can't it be both? You know, I think the fact of the matter is they're 20th overall. It's not as if they have a whole lot of control over what they can do. And that does not mean they can't trade up. But what it means is at pick 20, the team picking, in this case, the New York Giants picking at 5 and 7, don't have as much interest in trading down to pick 20 unless that package is ginormous. And do the Steelers want to give up that much? Probably not. My point is that the Steelers are not in a great position to be all that attractive to a team with the valued pick, where whether draft picks like this or not, these quarterbacks are going to get taken. I don't care what they think about Malik Willis as a long-term starter. That kid has way too high level of tools to suggest he's not going to be highly drafted. He is way too naturally talented. At the same time, he's been playing at Liberty. He's not been playing at Penn State. He's not been playing at Georgia. Right. He's been playing at Liberty. Right. You honestly compare the coaches at those schools to ones that they're paying at Liberty? Liberty's athletic budget is probably like $8 million. Okay, that's nothing. Georgia's spending like 70 on the football team alone. So the level of coaching they're going to get is not going to be good. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense that he's not as developed as some other players. But those other players do not have his arm. They do not have his athleticism. They don't have his build. Those are the things you draft really in a quarterback. Now, I understand that the full product you look for more in certain other positions. Like your defensive line, for example, you've got to see obviously the high-level traits, but some experience with that is good as well. Your running backs, you kind of want to see them, you know, go through the mill a little bit for more than just like 12 carries. Quarterbacks, when they have an arm, they have an arm, and that's really kind of the end of the discussion. So as far as the Steelers are concerned, I think, yeah, it makes a lot of sense to take a look at Malik Willis because you don't know how this is all going to shake out, and maybe they are interested in trading their entire draft to get up to 5. I don't know. It wouldn't seem likely, but I do think at the same time, Tomlin is aware of what is being said about his team. He won't admit it, but he keeps detailed notes on what is being reported, what is being talked about as far as the Steelers are concerned. I think he gets a bit of a kick out of showing up to these things and, you know, smiling and doing the things that Tomlin does as somebody who just absolutely loves this process. He is just in love with every bit of it. And he's going out and having fun. And he loves being able to put that in somebody's head. I don't think that that's their aim or their focus. Yeah. I think it's simple due diligence to look at a Sam Howell, a player that they watched multiple times this year that we know of, and a player that came into this season pretty highly regarded. I think he's a player that probably is there in the range where the Steelers are. Makes a lot of sense. Quarterback is a position of need in the near future for him, in my opinion. It's an immediate need. I'm not sure they're going to be able to fill that in this draft, but it would make a lot of sense for them to be interested in a player like that. Matt Corral, same type of thing.
Right.
You know, they know Kenny Pickett backwards and forwards. They were still there to kind of watch it and, you know, chat up the program and things like that. So I think it does make sense, and I don't think that Tomlin would be upset with the accusation that maybe he's hamming it up a little bit. Maybe he's trying to give people something to think about. I think that's part of this process. I think that the bottom line for me is I just think he really enjoys all of it. And if he's messing around, he's doing it because he doesn't really have anything to hide. It's pretty obvious why he's looking at quarterbacks. Whether he can do anything about that or not, I don't know. But I know he's not there just to look at one pick, and I know he's not there just to look at one prospect for this year and this year alone. You know, he's going to build up a bit of a database, get a good sense of who a guy is coming out of college, and then watch his career as it unfolds.
Well, there's another element too. North Carolina has other players. Yeah, Liberty does have other players.
That too.
And the last I checked, this was a 7-round draft. I mean, I don't know why that's never brought up, but they do have other players to look at. I mean, believe me, the number of players that worked out here, because, you know, John Lynch was here, Mike McCarthy was here, Dan Quinn was here, you know, I mentioned Brian being here, you know, Gunnigunts was here from the Packers. Well, you know, they could be looking at Brandon Smith, they could be looking at Jaquan Brisker, they could be looking at Tariq Castro Fields, you're looking at Jahan Dotson, I don't know. The Patriots,
it's a rich tapestry.
Right. I mean, the Patriots were here, and a former walk-on who earned himself a scholarship, Drew Hartlob, cranked out a 4.22. The Patriots went over and talked to him right away. So, I mean, I'm saying there's more than one guy you're looking at. It's not always just the quarterback.
Yep. I mean, while you're there, you better take a look at everybody. I mean, again, it goes down to due diligence. You don't want to be the scout or the evaluator that went to a pro day for a player that gets drafted in the 7th round is an all-pro player his second year. Why did you? What were your notes on him? Why did you not mention that? They're going to be very thorough about everybody who's there. There are targets that they're more interested in walking into it. But yeah, I mean, I use this story a lot, and I don't even know if any of this is true. I just remember doing it when the Steelers were terrible to start the year in 2013. They had that 0-4 start. At that point, everything looked bad, and you kind of wonder what, you know, at this point, if you want to entertain an audience, you've got to probably dive into the draft a little bit, which is rare for a Steelers-based publication. In September, you don't necessarily do that all that much, but it was noted that Colbert was going down to Clemson versus I forget who they were even playing game to scout, and at that point the big name was Sammy Watkins. Y'all knew the type of prospect he was,
right.
And there was some interesting chatter going on about the quarterback, Taj Boyd. I watched that game just to get a sense of what they watched, and I'm not making this up, and I'm totally patting myself on the back, and I apologize for it, but the article that I wrote was about Kevin Colbert sat and watched this Martavis Bryant kid that I'd never heard of before, but my God, he's huge, he runs like a deer, he's got good hands, he's got good stats. I don't know what he did. He obviously did something if he's not on anybody's radar, at least at this point, but this kid can play. I mean, he's got the natural ability. I'm not sure if he's like an all-around guy like Watkins is, but he can play. And they ended up drafting him. So at that point, the thought was they're looking at Taj Boyd, they're looking at Sammy Watkins, and they're preparing for a team that could be drafting in the top five, for all we know. It ends up that they go 500. I think they drafted 15. They took Ryan Shazier, but they ended up taking Martavis Bryant in the fourth round. I heard that they wanted him in the third round. Something happened there with that pick, and they ended up with Dree Archer, and I don't think they want us to acknowledge that happened anymore. But the point is that they are going to see everybody who's out there. And at the pro day, they're going to take a look at the guys that they might have seen when they were at games or guys that their scouts recommended. But when they get the high-level eye to validate the ability or the presence of some of these other guys, they're going to pay attention to that. Come draft time, or come, you know, the beginning of free agency for this class, whether they make it through their rookie contracts, maybe they get released or they're available via trade. They want to be prepared for that, and you have to stay on top of everybody who's there, and they employ a lot of people to be able to do that. They might not have Brian Flores for every single school, but they'll strategically select where they want to go. And the Steelers kind of they make that pretty clear what they're going to do. I think they missed Ohio State's pro day for the first time. It might be the first time Colbert and Tomlin didn't go to that. They stay pretty consistent overall.
Well, we had Brett Veach on the show about a little more than a year ago, and you know he went down to Texas Tech. They were going to look at a couple of players. And he came back, he said, "You can't believe the quarterback." And so he started, he said, "This guy can, and that got them on the pathway." And, of course, because it's the Big 12, Brett said, he said, "Look, I could go to Kansas and watch him play. I could go up to Iowa State and watch him play." But that's what they went down to look at other people and went, "Oh, my goodness, this Mahomes guy's unbelievable."
And look who you found.
Yeah. Tyrann Mathieu, Kevin Colbert said at the 2022 owners meetings that the priority of the Steelers is to add young veteran players. That doesn't appear to be Tyrann Mathieu. How do you view that situation with him? He is still available right now.
We saw a report, and I think this makes sense for what they're trying to do. We saw a report that this kind of is befitting with the young and experienced motif that they're going for, that they would not be interested in Mathieu mostly because of cost, because they're saving cash and cap space up in preparation for the extension that they're going to offer Minkah Fitzpatrick. I would buy that in the sense that you do want to lock Minkah up rather than kind of let this dangle in the wind. The safety market is maybe it didn't quite go up as much as you thought that it would, but ironically, Mathieu was a big part of that. I think he was going to be kind of a fulcrum for safety spending, and you still have Terrell Edmunds on the market. So my thought, honestly, was the longer this goes, the more it would suggest that it's not just a money thing for Mathieu. They're not going to get more money any soon. The Steelers aren't anyway. They have no post-June 1 cuts. So their cap space is not changing anytime soon. They have the money that they have. If Matthew was interested in playing with the Steelers and the Steelers were interested in signing him, you'd think that they would eventually come to a deal, because that's more of the veteran move. In my opinion, if Matthew was to join this defense, you're looking at probably one of the best all-around units in the league,
right?
And that's before the draft. So I would think a deal would come together, because it would make sense on both sides at a certain price point. But if the Steelers are going to say, we're going to save it for Fitzpatrick, what that really kind of means is we're not giving him a huge bonus up front that would really draw down the cap number in this year, which is where they would save versus his, what, $10.6 million, I think it is, on his fifth-year option. So if they're suggesting that they don't want to spend it because they're going to sign Matthew, I would suggest that it's probably less likely that Matthew would come back. And they do want to focus on Fitzpatrick before he would reach an extend or tag situation, which is, what ended up happening with TJ Watt too. So I think there's some recent precedent on the big contracts that they have and how they're planning on dealing with those. Also too, you might argue that the next general manager doesn't get say over that decision. They want Minka. Kevin says this is what they want. So, Rooney's going along with that. They're gonna do everything they can to lock Minka up now and not have another voice in there to offer up a different opinion.
In fact, Kevin Colbert said, look, the preference is to have players coming off their first contract or as close to their first contract as can be. Then the Dolphins were thought to be a Tyrann Mathieu spot, and Chris Greer was very straightforward. He said, we're not pursuing Tyrann Mathieu. Good player. I think it would be a good addition for any team in the league, but no, we're not going to pursue him. And the Patriots moments ago just signed Jabril Peppers. So he is... right now, he's just sitting in limbo.
That safety market. It's crazy. It's fickle. That's weird. I would have said Dolphins or Patriots would be next up. You're right on Pepper. I didn't see that.
It literally just came across. So that's why you were talking to me at the time. It turned out it just came up on my iPad here. I've got to ask
unless Matthew is asking for Justin Simmons money.
I have no idea.
Seem weird why nobody would be interested in him on that. I don't know. Maybe that price goes way down.
I don't know. I've got to ask you about the overtime rule. All they're going to do, it's just for the playoffs, but each team will get a possession no matter what happens. Your thoughts on that?
Hey, they're kicking the can down the road. Both teams kick a field goal, you're in the same spot you were in. I don't see what the difference is. This is just me, and believe me, I've gathered that I'm in the minority on it. I don't really think the game needs to be drastically changed to create a scenario that doesn't happen in the regular game. What I mean by that is you're guaranteed the opportunity to have one possession a game, and you might fumble that kickoff and never see it again. I don't think you need to change because the game was tied. Let's play a completely different version of this now. To be fair, it's a problem that's unavoidable in the sense that football is not a good game if you don't want to accept a tie as a conclusion.
Right.
If a tie cannot be the result, which obviously can't in the playoffs, and as we saw this season and have a couple times in the past, people freak out if there's a tie in the regular season.
I know.
if that is the hill that you're going to die on, if you will not allow a scenario in which a tie is going to be easy or possible, in this case in the playoffs, in my opinion, is sudden death is the easiest and the most like the actual game than anything else they're going to come up with. That doesn't mean it's perfect. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have flaws, and it doesn't mean that it is also an exact replica of the game, because I don't think you can play another quarter of football.
Right.
That's just too much. There's a lot that goes into that. There's risk of injury. Everyone freaking out about how great it was that Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are scoring touchdowns left and right. It's because neither of those defenses had anything left.
They had nothing.
In that case, yeah, I guess it is whoever gets the ball first. But if both defenses are completely and totally gassed, what difference does it make if you're going to give them both the ball, you're going to reach sudden death anyway. Now it's really long. It's drawn out. This is just me. I'm more of a football purist. I think the defense does have an impact on the game. I think that special teams should be a part of the game because you play the rest of the game like it.
Yep.
I don't know why you change that. I also hate shootouts. So if that helps, you know, formulate my opinion, you know, I would just assume they did sudden death because I don't have a problem with it. You know, I get the way that they have been doing it is more or less a response into the fact that kickers can hit from 60 without blinking an eye anymore.
Right.
And when this
CBS
all started, they couldn't hit from 35 consistently.
Russia claims it will
so you don't want to end
it
on a field goal,
some
and I get that.
Cities as part of a good faith
if you can't stop a team
CBS
scoring a touchdown, I, you know, after 60-plus minutes of play, I don't know what to tell you. You didn't earn much, though. So, you lost a coin toss, that's true, but get a stop. You know, win a game on defense.
We always win every Tuesday with you. Appreciate you very much, as always.
I appreciate you guys, too. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulon, depressing CBS News, is next.
In an ever-changing world, one thing you can always count on is the service at Purdy Insurance. Hi, this is Season. While the world is constantly changing, Purdy Insurance is dedicated to providing you with the highest level of service to protect you, your family, and your business. Give us a call today at 570-286-5855. Go to our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory. All at the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And not only that, but a fabulous service department to back it all up. It really is one-stop vehicle shopping. Routine diagnostics, inspections, they handle it all. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 at 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. It's been another tough day at the office for Matt. It's been a series of things to not be happy about.
It's just Tiger, that's all.
What do you mean it's just Tiger? Have you listened to the last month?
I'm talking about just today.
Oh, today, just today. Okay.
Today it's Tiger.
But he didn't do anything. I don't understand what you're upset about.
He just needs to go away.
Okay. Years ago, Charles Cootie played in the Masters, and as did the late, I mean, now the late Bob Golby. Okay? Now, why did they play? Why? You have no answer. Because they're both former champions, and the Masters allows all former champions to play. If they wish. And it doesn't bump anybody from the field.
No, I understand that.
If he wants to show up and play, what are you complaining about?
It's just...
Why are the ratings higher when he plays?
Oh, yeah, I'm not disputing that. I'm not naive to not think that. And it does make it intriguing. It makes it intriguing for me because he's Tiger. I know that. But it doesn't mean I have to like him.
If you want to root against him, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It intrigues me because then I can root against him and say if he has to quit after nine holes because he can't walk on the hills anymore, that I can just laugh at him and move on. That's that simple. I just go on and enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Okay. But why do you want to laugh at somebody's pain?
Because
is this part of the being real in Philadelphia thing?
No, this is the all the his off the field incidents and antics and his selfishness, the way he treats others, the way he treats the media. That's my disdain for Tiger Woods.
But that was years ago. I mean, I've been around when he's done media. He was all right. He answers every question, you know.
There's answers, and then there's Marshawn Lynch answers. He was known to give some Marshawn Lynch type answers before.
Not when I was around. I know that. I'll go by my personal experience. Because I've covered U.S. Opens. There's a hatred there. I'm a little worried.
I'm not disputing that. Like I said, I am in the minority of this. First of all, I like golf. I like to play. I watch all the major championships. I don't watch a whole lot the rest of the year. I maybe watch the Players. I maybe see a little bit of the Ryder Cup. That's about it. Like, I'm not watching golf every weekend. Like my brother-in-law, he's a diehard golf guy. So, you know, he'd be an example of a diehard. I'm kind of like the casual fan. And I'm also in the minority of this, I guess, the so-called being a Tiger hater. Because there's not a lot of people out there.
I mean, you don't have to be. Look, how many times have you heard me say that, and I think America, I think, is one of the, when it comes to second chances, this country is more than willing to give a second chance to somebody than any place else, probably on the face of the earth. And they gave him a second chance. Well, they gave him a second chance. I mean, you know, he's got his kids out there now. Look. People make mistakes. I mean, look at the staff meeting every Monday. All right, so, I mean, what?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
You liked that one, didn't you?
That was pretty good.
Yeah. By the way, Matt Langel has signed a contract extension through 2030 at Colgate.
See, I was a little bit surprised by that. I thought he would be a guy that would... I thought he might be moving up in the ranks after and build off his success at Colgate. But, I mean, kudos to him. He's comfortable there. He wants to stay there. Why wouldn't he when you look at what he's done? But I thought he would take the next step up. But good for him.
You know, sometimes you get to a point in your life where you're comfortable. You know, in other words, like he looked around, maybe he just looks around and says, you know, Hamilton, New York, this is great. I think I'll stay here. I like coaching in the Patriot League. I like the players I'm able to get. I'm like, you know, I'm a fit for the community. I mean, that's... Yeah. I mean, that happens a lot. You know? I know how he feels. Believe me, I know how he feels. I mean, you don't think I could have left? I stayed because I felt this place fit me like a glove. Yeah. Much to your chagrin.
Never.
Okay. And the number of jobs the suit recommended me for, I mean, I kind of thought that was more personal than anything. That didn't feel good.
You got really to do, Steve Jones.
Take him! Get him out of here! But, you know, you sometimes, like, you look around and say, you know what? This feels like me. So you stay there. It always can't be about, I'm going to go and take the Washington job. I'm going to go take the Stanford job. I'm going to go... You know, it's not always like that. And, you know, what's interesting is that you look around, like, let's take, for example, the two coaches that were hotter than heck when they were coaching at a different level. Right? When Archie Miller was at Dayton, quote, everybody had to have him. Everybody had to have him, right? So he went to Indiana. Indiana landed Archie Miller. Great. Now, it's not like Archie Miller never won at Indiana. Yeah, he won some games at Indiana, no question. But they never got to the NCAA tournament, which, of course, in Indiana is considered to be unacceptable. And after 5 years, he was out. He spent this past year out of it, you know, in terms of being a head coach, and now he's the head coach at Rhode Island. It just didn't work when he went from Dayton. Because, again, what are the resources at the place that you are coaching at versus the resources of the other schools in your conference that you're coaching against? Versus going someplace else where, yeah, you got more resources than you just have, but, geez, guess what? Everybody else has resources, too. Oh. Okay. And that becomes... an issue. The other guy is Chris Mack. Everybody, Chris Mack was at Xavier. Everybody had to have Chris Mack. Everybody. Gotta have him, gotta have him, gotta have him. Right? That's all we heard over and over again. He is the guy you gotta get. So Louisville got him. Like, wow. What a hire for Louisville. And Chris Mack is out of a job. The place was a mess. Now, I don't know if the new Penn State president, what involvement she had in Chris Mack being, you know, let go. It doesn't really matter, but I'm just connecting the two, that's all. You know, to recognize that she was there. It would be wrong for me to sit here and not recognize she was there. But at Xavier... he's going along, he's doing great, he's getting recognition. Sometimes moving up doesn't mean getting, you know, getting better. He goes from Xavier to Louisville, it didn't work out. Archie Miller went from Dayton, Indiana, it didn't work out. Now, where Chris Mack ends up, I don't know. We do know that Archie Miller ended up at Rhode Island. Okay? So it doesn't always work going someplace else. Now, and you end up staying at a certain place. I mean, there's a guy retiring this weekend that stayed at one place for a long time after he left Army. Hubert Davis is his first job. You know, Jay Wright was at Hofstra for 7 years. You know that? Remember when I had Jay on the show and, you know, I pointed out he was at, how many years he was at Hofstra?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a lot of people don't realize how long he was there. They're a long time. And then Bill Self kind of moved around. He had Tulsa, he did the Illinois thing. That's where I actually first got to know Bill Self. And now he's done the Kansas thing forever. But Matt Lingle, I mean, I've only met him a couple times. Speaks highly of you, by the way. And you know, maybe this is just, he looks around and says, you know what? This is just, fits me better. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's bad news for the Patriot League, I can tell you that. He's a heck of a coach.
Yeah, he does a good job. Does a good job. In the Patriot League, though, things go in cycles. You gotta be able to go old, stay old. And it's hard to do in the Patriot League because you have people looking at your talent saying, hey, why don't you come on up here and play at Pick School? You know?
Exactly.
I mean, look at Cornell, for example. Jimmy Boeheim was the top player at Cornell. He went back and played Syracuse for his dad. He was the best player Cornell had. It's like when you're sitting around that table in the staff meeting, and the guy at the head of the table is telling you over and over again, he's the best we have.
Ah,
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells founder.
And then you go back to your little office back there and you misspell resignation. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
That is this weekend. 6:09 on Saturday night, Villanova against Kansas, and the nightcap 25 minutes after the conclusion of that game will be Duke and North Carolina. For the first time ever in the NCAA tournament, Duke and North Carolina are facing each other.
I can't wait for that.
Neither can TBS.
You better believe it.
This is the best chance we're going to get. And a rating.
I can't wait to see what the numbers will be for that.
Well, they're not going to be what you think.
Right, because of the cable thing. If this were a CBS game, oh boy.
If it's a CBS game, it would be off the charts. Cable, it'll be a strong cable rating, no question, but it won't be what it would be if it were on CBS. And again, you know, I talked about the NCAA Wrestling Championships. That was disappointing. I kept waiting, like, oh, come on, it's got to be a record. Because everybody else has been setting records, and the NCAA wrestling tournament has been setting records. You know, Penn State, Iowa set a BTN record, everything like that. And then, like, I finally said, how come it hasn't come out yet? But I finally had to look it up myself. When I did, it was down. It was as lowest in 9 years. Hadn't been this low in 9 years. A little taken aback by that. And the semifinals were worse. All right, more coming up tomorrow. Rob Beer Temple tomorrow from Florida on spring training. Always remember, Matt, you can hit 400 in Florida, but on opening day you go 0 for 4. What's your average?
Zippo. Right.
There you go. I always remind people of that.